Every time I see Seor Alba, I always think it says sore elbow. But
we seem to have a cross line, Ricky. We seem to have a cross line. I can hear someone's voice on this line. Can you hear it?
You know what? It's like when you turn on a radio and you start to hear a ghostly voice from the past.
Are you playing like one of the old episodes in the background there that you've not turned off? Because I've definitely got a hint that I can hear like a ghost from past.
Yeah. I think there's three of us on here, maybe it'll give Ricky a chance to do a different musical edit. The last one I thought it was very much a B-side, the last one. It was a good edit, but it was a B-side tune. I think you're going to have to go some.
No, the listeners loved it.
Oh, no, they did.
The listeners loved it.
Listen, we know how to give the listeners what they want, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so you usually not been on here. That's usually seems to be the way to get it.
Yep. Bingo.
So I think we probably skip talking about watches. We talk. Mm-hmm. We just go straight to the movies, because that's what the people want.
Why is your dog
straight to the movies?
Doggy hospital?
I don't want to talk about my dog at doggy hospital.
Right. Which brings up a point. I don't know if you noticed this, Ricky.
No, hold on. To me, your doggy's at doggy hospital to get laser surgery. Is it to stop smoking or to get a tattoo removed?
It's tattoo removal.
sounds like the dog's got a lot smaller, because Ricky told me this morning it was a horse, but things have changed drastically in the last few hours.
No. It was horse tranquilizers Rick was taking.
More Rehypno. Is that what you need to see? You need to replenish your stores.
Ketamines.
It's the proper Bute. I've got sachets of the stuff.
I can't picture Rick like chundling down an Ayrshire street in a tractor with a horse strapped to the back though. That sight I can't imagine.
It was an incredible
delivering to Tesco.
It's an incredible shrinking laser. It shrunk it from a horse to a dog, and when I pick it back up, it'll be hamster sized.
Whilst we're on this topic, actually, Ricky, I've got a point. There was a message. There is a topic. There was somebody sent a message into the Scottish Watches Instagram messages that said that you sounded happier every time Rick was back on the show.
Because I get to abuse him.
I was going to say, I'm really struggling to see where your happiness is coming from here, unless it's a kind of sadomasochistic type of happiness.
Well, you know.
It's like when Rick's on the show, I'm the 8-year-old boy in the playground with a magnifying glass and the ants.
You're the playground bully.
Right, okay.
Yep. Or I'm the guy with the salt and he's the slug. Something like that. Anyway, welcome listeners. We have a trio. We've got the three musketeers. And we're about to do a wrist check.
I thought there was four of them. Is it not? I thought the whole idea of the three musketeers is that they became four musketeers. So who are we adding? Ryan's not here.
I see his time in the sin bin hasn't changed them in any way, shape or form. Okay.
No. Wrist check, Rick. Nice Apple Watch. Dave, what are you wearing?
No. Okay, yes, I'm wearing Apple Watch. But I want to play Fantasy Watch. So come back.
Right, okay.
Play Fantasy Watch. What are you playing?
Well, I was going to play Glashütte Original, the new CQ, until actually it was Philly Watch Collector pointed out that on the dial there are seven different fonts being used. So I chucked that one out, and instead it's just out today, or just been emailed to me, is a watch I had on, shall we say, loan, the Hanhart Desert Pilot. But this is with a black DLC case. It's really cool. Like it.
When you say watch and loan, you mean another watch you've stolen?
No, I did actually send this one back, but I'd like them to send me one of these ones and I'll keep that one because this one's even cooler.
Right, I see. Okay.
Good.
Ricky, what are you wearing?
Wow. We're moving fast and quick today. I am wearing a Zenith. Guess which one it is?
I'm guessing it's not going to be one that oscillates really quickly.
You've got one!
Woohoo! No. But Frédéric Constant may have something to talk about later.
Indeed. So I'm going to say...
that the technological development.
I see you're still interrupting. Aye. You're going to let Ricky answer the question like we got as far as Zenith.
No, we got as far as asking him the question. We never let him finish it.
Do you want to cut him off of this call, or will I do it, Ricky?
Hold on a minute. Wait a second.
Bye-bye for now.
Did that work?
Did it? I think it did.
Did that work?
It did. And listeners, we've actually just kicked him out the room. Can you hear this? Can you hear the swearing and the noises already?
Yeah, you can still hear me, but we cut you off.
No, that's fine. I don't mind that. The people have stayed on to listen. They have stayed on to listen to what they want.
Anyway, so it's a Zenith. I'm going to say, is it the Ultra Blue by chance?
No, I wore that the other day. So this is the Zenith Chronomaster Revival A385. And this is a tiny little watch, which is 37 mil. So it's not 38 mil, which means nobody's going to buy it. It's not 40 mil, so it's not a lady's watch. And it's about $7,000.
Yeah,
$7,000. It's got a ladder bracelet.
They only give you half a bracelet with it.
Exactly, they give you half a bracelet. It's very jingly-jangly, so TGV will want one. It's got the worst clasp I have seen on a modern contemporary watch.
Let me guess, pressed steel?
Pressed steel, not milled clasp.
Quality.
It doesn't even clip together. You've got to press it down,
yeah,
and it doesn't clip, and then you've got to throw the little catch at the end over to hold it in place. That is how janky this is.
So it's like a double secure clasp that's only singularly secure because you have to use the fold over, which is supposed to be a backup, so it's not a backup. It's a backup that's not a backup. Makes all the sense.
Correct.
That has quality.
Now, the reason I've got this and the reason I'm talking about it like this is the company that sent it across, they sent two of them. They sent the Ultra Blue and they sent this because I said, I want to do a like-for-like comparison of what your money can get you. Obviously, the Divide 21 is a bit more expensive, but it's the most modern thing that is in general mass production versus an inventor. And I wanted to sort of contrast and compare this vintage re-edition with modern tech in it versus something that is absolutely crazy balls new.
Yeah.
And this one, I would not spend $7,000 on.
Did you read the article on Watch Collecting Lifestyle about Zenith? Have you seen this?
No? I did not, Rick.
No, we did
tell
not.
Me all about it.
This is the Defy 21 that...
Did I just mute him again
you
by
did.
Accident?
Aye, because it's something about this is how we stop the interruptions. Mute winner.
Yeah. But you realise you're muting me from you're also muting me from the video record from the recording, I suppose. But anyway, Watch Collecting Lifestyle, he basically sent in his Zenith to get fixed and they sent it back Defy 21. And via a fairly long story, they sent it back with an entirely different movement in it. They said they were servicing it, and in fact, they've swapped the movement out because it's a completely different number. And him being an editor and all the rest of it, was very careful to take photographs of it before he sent it in. So this is LVMH's service centre in the States that he's
did they give a reason
publicly.
Are you new to watch collecting? This goes on all the time. If you send in your Twitter with a buggered date, they swap the movement out to take the old one apart to see what was wrong with it.
Yeah, but it's got a clear case back on it. So this guy was able to take a photograph that showed you the movement number before and after. They said it was going in for a service. It came back. He said it hadn't been serviced. Well, read the article. It's a good article. Watch Collecting Lifestyle. Missy, I'll hit it up in the show notes. It's surprising. Like, the guy's really waded in. He's gone for them. And he's obviously editor of a magazine. Because they completely messed him around and lied. Because they lied to him. Basically.
Who cares? If they bring a car in for service and they put a brand new engine in it for you, do you care?
You ask. Well, read the article. Look, boys. Don't make me do all the work for you.
Whoa. Did you just say boys?
Well, I'm not allowed to say that.
Barbara, we'll kick your tin.
Right, so go read the article. It's really interesting. There's a bit of a story as to how it ended up going back a couple of times and then came back with a completely different movement on it, and he is waiting for Zenith to comment.
So what I'm going to take away, the takeaway story from this is that you found it interesting and none of us give a fuck.
Well, you pair clearly don't, but maybe.
I handed something back to get repaired and they tried to repair it twice and then they went, we can't really repair this, therefore we're giving you a new one that's all singing, all dancing, brand new, straight out the wrapper. I'd be like, thanks very much, guys. I wouldn't write an article about calling them
except
pricks.
The warranty card now doesn't match the reference number. So when he takes it in to get his service in 5 years' time, they're going to go, this isn't the watch that the warranty's on. So he's like, are you going to send me...
Look, I know you live in Ayrshire, but there's a thing called computer records, you know, like where they can keep a note of these things that maybe they've done
blockchain.
The work.
And if you read the article, you'd realise that part of the start of the story is that Zenith do not appear to have computer records of warranties because they challenged them for the warranty card initially, even though it was a nearly brand new watch. There you go. Just saying, lads, just read the article.
Excellent.
You'll enjoy
it. We now
join
need to
all there's some
extra.
Big words in there. You can phone me if you need me to pronounce them for you because I'm good at pronunciations.
What's your phone number, Rick, for the listeners that need to call you?
Can we take you in a tribunal to that for that? You know, like, let's have a tribunal about that.
I still think that's a word. I'm sorry. It's my word of the week.
You also think you're humorous, so that tells you something. Yeah,
you also think you're a spy, but you include all your personal details and files that you email to people.
A, I do not think I'm a spy. And B, I've been doing that since day one of Scottish Watches. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
That was an interesting conversation with Mizzio on WhatsApp.
So to get this to flow together, once Ricky's cut out the last 7 or 8 minutes of nonsense, what is it you're actually wearing? We never quite got to that, did we? Well, we did. Shit, I've lost track now. Cut that Apple out watch. As well.
Then he did a fantasy watch.
I'm wearing an Apple Watch, and the fantasy watch was the Hanhart Desert Pilot. What are you wearing, Dave?
What am I wearing? I better look at my wrist. Actually, I'm wearing something a bit weird and wonderful. I am wearing a Citizen today.
Hold on, hold on. Rick, what's he wearing?
What, a Citizen?
A Sean Connery?
A Shitterson.
That one?
Yeah.
A Shitterson okay, watch.
You're always a Shitterson watch.
Surely, sure mistake, small boy. Tell me about your Shitterson. It is a Alticron Cirrus, and it's a horrifically colourful lump of titanium and ceramic that amuses me. And aside from that, there's not a lot to say about it, to be honest.
Fascinating.
So you should be.
Rick, apart from damaging your dog and having to take it to the vet for repairs, what's been happening in the life of Rick?
Not much. Just been kind of smoozing along. Been curious as to whether Dave was wearing his Satan shoes along with his right. Shitters
what's this
and
all
watch.
About?
Do you want to explain? Because it has repercussions in the watch industry. I suspect a certain case by Vortic maybe being raised, although I suspect it's not applicable.
I will tiptoe on some of the bits of this story and keep it short because it's not about watches, but broadly speaking, a relatively well-known, what we call it, a rapper, I think, rapper individual who in the
Lil
United States
Nas
is...
X, which is probably not how you say it.
Aye, well, there we go. It's combined up with a kind of fashion house to modify trainers. And like with watches, there's a bit of a scene for customising sneakers all over the world. But this is kind of a wee bit different in that it's not someone personally doing it. It's a business that's done it. They've taken some well-known Nike sneakers and have heavily modified them. It's called the Satan shoe. It's got red dye injected into the air bubble with a drop of blood in there as well for good measure, yadda yadda yadda.
Actual blood,
yes. Yeah. How shall we put this carefully? The slightly more conservative belt of the United States, who believe deeply, deeply in fairy stories, have got real upset by this. They get really upset and get quite vocal, which probably means three folk and a dog got upset on Twitter, and that sounds like about 50 million people by the time it's escalated to Nike headquarters. They've decided that they're not really keen on the idea and have filed lawsuit against them, which has had folk jumping up and down and saying, oh, well, this is the end of the kind of sneaker customization people. But then I think there's more to it, because it's up Nike do tend to ignore folk doing stuff as long as it doesn't denigrate or, you know, have damage to their trademark and their name. This one obviously has. And it doesn't help that I think these folk made, can't remember, I think it was 666 pairs to go with the old Satan thing.
Devil Diver.
But it's roughly a $170 shoe that's miraculously, someone stuck some dye and blood on it, and it's become $1,018 for a pair that sold out in something like 30 seconds, as these things tend to do. And they've got really upset.
Nice.
And they're now going for them for a whole plethora of trademark infringements and everything else. But, you know, a lot of folk are saying, oh, this is the end, no more sneaker customization, a bit like you hear in watches. But then there's lots of things. Car, like Singer with Car, do things to Porsches that Porsche quite often ignore, but sometimes sue Singer if they take it a bit too far. I think this is the same. I think someone's taken things a bit too far that Nike have got upset, and they'll probably continue to ignore the vast majority of folk who do things that don't particularly upset folk. But hey, who knows? But I kind of understand why Nike have gone for it.
Okay, well, I'll take this back to watches, because something similar has just happened in the last few days, and that is that Apple lost its bid to stop the Swatch Group using Steve Jobs' One More Thing.
That's right,
trademark or slogan. Yeah.
That's in the UK, I think, isn't it? That they've won it in the UK, where Swatch have only got the right to use that in the UK, and Apple can't use it or something to that effect. But there's a long history of them winding each other up, because Swatch also were the ones that put pay to Apple using the term iWatch, because they apparently own that trademark as well, and they refused to sell it or let it go to Apple. So I think there's a degree of bad blood between the two of them as well, and I think they do quite like winding each other up at every opportunity.
Stick a drop of it in trainers and the circle is complete. When did trainers become sneakers, by the way?
They always have been in the States.
Yeah, you don't know, but I mean, in the UK, why you refer to them as sneakers, I refer to them as...
I mean, to be fair, they are trainers or gutties more effectively in Scotland.
Gutties.
To be honest, it's pretty much down to sneaker. You know, Nike call their app the sneakers app, and it's kind of become sneaker culture, I suppose, is what they kind of call it. And there's various magazines called Sneaker Magazine and stuff like that. So I think it's just an Americanization that's become the norm, is probably the best way to say it. But I... Gutties doesn't have the same ring to it, though, does it? Nike Gutties app.
Nike Gutties. There's a question I'm probably afraid to ask. Dave, what magazines do you subscribe to?
do you want to give me any particular genre or category discuss?
You mentioned that there's a sneaker magazine. I don't wish to deal with any of the top shelf stuff you might subscribe to, but I'm just curious now you mentioned sneaker magazine, and bearing in mind the stuff I know you collect, are you a subscriber to some really like strange and quite niche magazine titles?
I think it would be fair to say that, you know, myself and a few others that probably listen to this are single-handedly or very few-handedly responsible for keeping the actual print publication business in going. Because, yeah, I do subscribe to some slightly left-field titles, I think it would be fair to say.
Like what?
Let's share some.
I think there's three sneaker... publications. I think there's four watch publications that I subscribe to, and I think there's four.
Never heard of the internet.
Aye. Do you know what? You see, the thing is, right. So I get the internet. You get the internet. I tried to do
I tried to do the whole
subscribe to digital magazines. You know, on the iPad or on the computer. You know, that you could get the same magazine you buy in WH Smith or whatever. Digitally.
Yeah, that format is shit though.
It's shit. It is shit. And yeah. I mean, okay, they do all the other extra little bits where you can, you know, press on interactive areas and all this kind of stuff. And honestly, I lasted maybe two issues and I was like, this is shit. And I quite like an actual in-print, you know, delivered through the door or gone and picked up at the magazine shop, you know, a magazine to flip
through. You're like going to the Dunny with a paper under your arm.
I mean, the thing is, you can sit in the Dunny with a magazine and you can leave it in the Dunny and you leave all the germs and everything with it. You know, that whole thing about sitting in the Dunny on your phone and then whacking up to your ear to answer a phone call. I'm just not into that. No into that. The toilet and the phone never shall remix.
And do you keep all your magazines?
Do I keep all my magazines?
Or do you throw them out? Do you have the last 500 issues of Sneaker World?
I used to keep them, but to be honest, I just, you know what it's like, didn't have the space, recycling, yada yada yada. So I'll keep one.
File them in all the Omega boxes.
If there's something interesting, I'll keep it, but I try to be pretty ruthless with stuff like that now and just chuck it.
Hold on. Anywho, watches.
Back to where we should be.
So it turns out after Patek decided to get rid of their 5711, AP got a bit jealous and went, how can we get some headlines? We'll get rid of the 15202 ST. So the Jumbo is no longer.
As of next year, I believe. They've said it'll be next year it gets discontinued, I think was what they said.
Well, if you saw Adrian's video on it, it's not that great. Not his video, his videos are generally not that great, but kidding on Adrian. Adrian, don't fucking WhatsApp me about this, it was a joke. Adrian's videos are great.
Can we use that as like the clickbait for the title of this? Rolex
Adrian's videos
dash
are rubbish.
Adrian videos are rubbish. See how many listeners, I guess. It's...
Scottish Watches reviews Adrian's Rolex videos.
You know,
fail.
You're right there though. You know, that Adrian had a lot of valid points. That's I'm not the world's biggest AP fan. Nice looking watch, get why folk like it, but you know, they are flogging a dead horse, hoping that your horse is okay.
It's a very delicate movement.
It's it's no quick date on it. The movement's not exactly modern by any standards. It'd be interesting to see whether they basically bring out the same watch with a new movement in it, or I can't, you know, how are they going to update that and not completely and utterly destroy what it is? I think it might be a new movement.
A skinny movement.
Yeah, you know, I think it might be that.
15303.
I was going to say, maybe a new movement, loses a bit of height in the movement, goes to quick date, or better still, drops the date altogether, which would clean it right up as far as I'm concerned. And then maybe, you know, get that watch even thinner. I think that may be where it goes, but who knows? Who knows? It's a bit like AP. Who knows what they're going to bring out to replace.
Piaget, and you've got... I don't know, Bulgari doing super ultra thin things at cheaper prices, then AP should be able to do it. They've got the smarts to produce decent movements.
It ain't going to get cheaper, that I can guarantee. What did you make of the divers that they dropped the other day? The three divers, the grey, the blue and the green? Did you see them? They only dropped them, I think, was it yesterday, the day before that they dropped them?
No, it was not about a week ago. We spoke about these in the last.
They brought the green range out, which was they brought all the greens out, didn't they?
But the new, they
had the divers and the offshores as well.
The offshores they did a week ago, week 10 days ago.
Was it a week ago? I thought it was only a couple of days ago they dropped them.
Yeah.
I think.
What the hell? Rick has got the news and you don't.
News.
It was March. The 30th. They dropped them. March the 30th. It was the new Royal Oak offshore diver in green with the new straps. The new quick release straps comes with two straps.
We spoke about these a week ago. Check the show notes from last week's from Monday's episode.
Was recorded the weekend.
If I'm not on it, I don't listen to it. You know, I've got to go down the full kind of only listen to yourself nonsense, especially when that guy Rick's on it. I don't want to listen to that nonsense.
Just bleep me out. It's fine.
It's a silent pee.
This is a train wreck already. Magic.
Hold on. Dave. Right. Yeah, 19th what? Of March. I put pictures of that AP you're talking about on our Instagram page.
Did you?
19th of March. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Never let details get in the road of a good story. I'm now actually just looking.
Rhyme and verse from people's Instagram messages to us, but you don't actually look at the grid. That's nice.
Is it on the main grid?
Yep. 19th of March.
What else is running about it? Because I'm scrolling through. Yakety yak, whatever. Oh, I saw you did. Well done. All right, okay. All right, I'll take that back.
So it came out yesterday, did it?
Feel free to make me look like a c*** in the editing of this. How did I not notice that? I'm an idiot. Nothing I didn't know.
Can't believe Rick came onto this show and is actually winning.
We'll eviscerate him in the next 40 minutes. Right, anyway, where were we?
Anyway, well, I'm going to give a shout out to Nicholas at Fears, because not only did he do a special edition show with us, did a video, me and you did an Instagram video, he also managed to sneak into the last edition because we talked for so long that we had to cut the Rolex bit about the Watches of Switzerland group and the Facebook groups and the conmen and the yada yada and drop it in the edition that went out on Monday. And people absolutely loved it. Thought it was great.
And you know the really confusing thing? The person most confused about that will be Missy L, because the email that I sent him was to do specifically with stuff that then got cut out of the episode. So he'll be looking at this photograph going, where's this photograph supposed to go? Which was the actually, it's probably more appropriate in this episode because it's the GLC Jesus watch. We've got Satan's shoes and Jesus's watch. So Missy L, you can stick that photograph I sent you into this episode now, unless Ricky cuts it again, we'll just have it as a continual running joke.
What you actually meant is he can put that photograph into like evidence against you. Is that what we're talking about? I told you about this before.
So if you've not checked out the Fear stuff, go check it out. We did a major blast in the one day, which obviously people might have missed, or there was other things happening, which is the problem when you drop three things at the one time. But that Platinum, I think he's sold a couple of them already.
Right.
He can only make 4 a year. So 50% gone in the space of a couple of days. But no, the feedback we had was tremendous. And then having his chat about the Rolex stuff as well, that was really good. And as I mentioned, video coming up will be the Zenith title fight, which is the Defy 21 Ultra Blue versus this little revival guy that I've got here. And speaking of Zenith and the Uninventor, we're now going to talk about the Frederic Constant.
Well, I was just going to say,
Slimline Monolithic.
Nick's not here, okay? So what do you actually think about the Platinum watch?
It's heavy.
Is it? Is it a proper monster?
It's a Marty McFly watch.
Meaning?
It's heavy.
Nope, not getting the reference.
Dave, you got that. Please tell me you got that.
Yeah, I did. I'm disgusted by Rick. Absolutely.
I don't remember it. Okay, I will go and have a word with myself.
It's the bit where Doc and Marty are in the high school. They've just seen Marty's mum calling him a dreamboat. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is heavy, Doc. And Doc says, is there some kind of problem with the Earth's gravitational forces in the future?
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
So that's good.
Do you think the nurses in a special hospital have noticed that he's actually escaped yet, Ricky?
No. Who said anything about escaping?
They don't check on him.
He's just not reached the end of his leash yet.
Talk to us in about Frederic Constant and
tell us about this little fidget spinner they've put in it.
Straight off the top, I think it's fair to say from my side, aesthetically, it ain't my thing. You know, they've put it into the wrong case, wrong aesthetic, wrong look. But my understanding is they've done it because that platform or that style of watch is one of their best sellers. So from that side of things, I kind of get why they've maybe done it. But, you know, even in what they do already, to me, they've got other kind of case shapes and stuff that I think it would have looked better in personally. I think it would have looked better in a sporty or a sportier or a kind of integrated bracelet-y type thing that was going on. But hey, that's up to them. From a technology point of view, to be honest, it's pretty impressive what they've done. I think it's fair to say there's nothing new that never been seen before necessarily that's in there, which is fine.
And what else has it been in?
Well, I think the concept of the technology obviously has been used in a few things. Let me think. The UN Freak Defy Inventor. I think there was, I can't remember the name of it, was it not a Parmigiani, whatever the fuck it is, a Parmesan cheese. They did something, didn't they, that was similar in terms of concept. Although that said, this does have a different combination of technologies and they've done it in a very different way to what those guys have done. And it's probably arguably the smallest way. So, you know, pretty much commercially in terms of, you know, I'm sure there's one-offs out there or there's concept pieces or whatever that have been done by brands or individuals that might have some of this in it. But from a kind of mass manufacturing side of things, pretty much everything out there is either Swiss lever escapement with a balance wheel or some kind of Daniel stroke Omega coaxial with balance in there. And most of them are sprung balance, you know, so that accounts for pretty much everything that's out there, really. You know, the big thing with this is using a kind of new type of oscillator, which is, what's the word they use? I think it's a flexure. So it's for all intents and purposes, it reduces a huge amount of the parts that are in it. So it's got, I think, only a handful of parts versus, you know, a couple of dozen parts involved. It's jointless. It uses the kind of the elastic properties of the material to control or affect the motion, which makes that thing one piece, less parts, less contact, less wear and tear, less friction, less lube. So all of these things kind of come into it, which are typically always things that watchmakers, watch companies are looking to remove if they can. It runs at like 40 hertz. So what's that? 288,000 beats per hour versus, let's say, okay, there's everything from kind of 2 through to 5 hertz, but you know, 4 hertz is probably a relatively commonly used frequency these days, which is what, 28,800. So it's 10 times the oscillating speed, which is, you know, significant.
Was the inventor 18 hertz?
It was originally 15, then they bumped it to 18 because they had problems.
The big thing with this is, though, the escapement anchor is actually incorporated into the oscillator in this, which is apparently not been done before. And so that kind of reduces parts again, and it also allows a substantial reduction in the size of it. So it's more like roughly the size of a traditional balance wheel, as opposed to being effectively kind of almost the size of a dial, I think, in the case of some of them.
Yep, that was the problem with the Zenith.
I think, you know, it's also, you've got a single silicon layer, which is, I think it's roughly a centimetre across, and it's something like 0.2, 0.3 millimetres in thickness, so it's super small. And the other thing is that it's got adjustment weights that are fitted onto the oscillator. So like on a kind of more traditional free-sprung balance, the watchmaker can actually fine-tune the frequency with those little weights that are on it. So it seems to be quite a clever mixture of parts and design that hasn't been seen before. Whilst the premise of that technology has been used, as we talked about, albeit I don't think anyone's done any in any volume or put anything out in any numbers, you know, with Frederic Constant, you would have thought, you know, the price point, is it 3,700 UK?
Just under 4K.
Something like that, you know. 810 limited edition, I think.
Exactly. Suddenly you're into like a properly mass-produced movement, because you would have think at that price point they're not going to be wanting to make a handful of them and, you know, be happy selling 100. They're going to have to sell a decent number of these globally every year to pay back the development costs. So be interesting to see if they've managed to overcome a lot of the technical issues that apparently have, allegedly kind of maybe upset various other bigger brands.
I think it's fair to say that we're not for two for us, so.
Well, yeah. I've got it on record from Zenith when I went to Baselworld, what is now 2 years ago, when I was speaking to them about what was happening with the Inventor, and they had their big high frequency party, mm-hmm. and why they changed the frequency and the range of it. And they'd said there was all kinds of problems. And I said this in the show maybe a year or so ago. The problem they had was when they were testing it, it used to be called the Defy Lab. And what would happen is if somebody was to take the watch and just put it on the table, just like this. So they're not dropping it, just placing it down, maybe a centimeter and just dropping it down onto the table. The silicon part of it would shatter because it's moving at 15 hertz and it would shatter. So what they did was a bit like a dual mass flywheel and clutch. Yeah. They put rubber bearings in it so that when somebody would drop it down, it would cushion and it wouldn't shatter. But then what they found was if you put it down and you tapped it on the side, on the opposite axis, it would shatter anyway.
Yep.
So that was what I was told, the reason that things had slowed down. So this thing here being smaller is great, but the fact that they bounced up from 15 or 18 hertz to 40 means that is jumping around crazy balls.
I do wonder why.
What if you clonk it against a door or whatever? It's going to be a hell of a lot harder to keep it working and not breaking versus Inca block protection or AN other on Swiss lever escapements.
I was trying to find out if there was a reason they'd given for making it 40 hertz as opposed to, you know, 32 or 20 or 18, but I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, when something's smaller, you've got to make it go quicker.
Absolutely. It's like the rate is going to have to be higher the smaller it is to get the same power effectively, aren't they? So, yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. I think it's pretty cool for a brand that, let's be honest, doesn't maybe get any real love from watch collectors out there. You know, that they've actually got something now that's a little bit different. But to me, it's a little bit like the Scotland football team. They can be quite good and they might have good players in there, but when they put it all together, it's not quite right in terms of the package that it's in.
Well, they screw up in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I would absolutely buy that if that was in something looking a wee bit sporty. I would have no problem with it saying the brand name on the watch. You know, Frederic Casson or Constantin, I've no issue with that. I've no issue with that being on the watch, but the watch itself that it's in, just for me, I'm like, nah, not interested. So I think that's a little bit sad that it's not in something that's maybe got a bit of a wider appeal for what it is.
And who owns Frederic Constant?
Citizen Group, isn't it?
Citizen. So is this really actually then Citizen Group putting this out and just putting it in a brand that if it all goes a bit pear-shaped, nobody's going to be concerned, but actually this is going to be technology. This is going to be their version, not of Spring Drive, because it's a completely different thing, but we're going to see this in the Citizens later.
Well, they've done Boulevard. They've spun off Accutron. Mm-hmm. They've got that electrostatic movement. They've also done the super high frequency. They've done the really, what is it, 1 second a year?
Yeah, they've got the new, was it the Calibre 100, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And they also own, was it Le Jupere?
Which just brought out those new tourbillons as well.
And all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So they've got so much stuff sitting there. It's just the watches look kind of ugly.
I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because I think it was Ryan said, was it maybe a month ago, 2 months ago when we were doing something that, the Citizen Group, wasn't it? He said, I don't know what they're doing. They seem to be sitting back in their laurels and not doing anything and et cetera. And then suddenly within, a short period, like this has come out, the new Le Jupere Citizen dual combined development movements have come out and they've launched a few new things. And as you say, the electrostatic movement is quite revolutionary, 10 years in the making, allegedly. And, then they have got, other things I'm assuming that are going to pop out. So it's interesting to see.
10 years in the making?
For the electrostatic.
That's nearly as long as we've been waiting for you to get us these Mont Blancs to try out.
Do you not remember? You see, it's funny. I was thinking to myself, this rings a bell, and the bell it rings, funnily enough, Ricky, is, do you remember I actually got the blue one sent up when I was doing an interview just before Davide left Mont Blanc, and I said, I've got this, I can bring it over for a video. And I remember, and I said, I've got a limited time with it because it's getting picked up, and something came up, and I don't want to give you a hard time, because I think from memory something came up that was quite important, maybe with your sister or something came up that you had to do and you couldn't do it. So I'm not going to give you too hard a time, but I definitely what were you going to say? Was he
no,
going to say something controversial?
Not bleep it out, because he'll not what bleep it out say? When you said you couldn't do your sister.
Hang on.
Oh God!
Did he just actually say that? Did he? He's actually just set himself up there. Brilliant!
Deleting that all. I'm going to go into the edit of this, and I'm going to actually delete it out of that. But no.
And you don't think he can take it out of this recording?
Yeah, no, I'm sure he can. Anyway.
Right, that might explain one of them. What about the other?
No idea. I've no idea. Checkmate. Are we playing this game? Are we? Hang on. I thought it was me and you v Rick. No, me and you v each other. Let's not let him get into
that's,
the.
See, that's what I do.
He's the fox and the like chicken paper. Hen. He's the fox and hen house here. Chicken hen.
So Citizen have got all these things, but you know what Citizen don't make?
What do they not make?
They don't make either wooden watches or Death Star watches. Have you seen these two?
Oh, you've been reading the notes I sent you.
No. I had these printed out. I had these printed out beforehand.
Printed out? Oh, we forgot you were on the show.
Printed it out. Then scanned.
Rick and his Gutenberg press.
Listen, like a plain paper fax you've got either, is it? It's one of the thermal ones you've got in it.
It's one of those Banda copiers out of school.
Listen, have you ever owned a wooden watch?
Funnily enough, I actually do have one. It's a, it's a Nixon.
Original grain.
It's a Nixon watch that has, it's not technically a wooden watch, it's stainless steel case, but it's got a wooden kind of veneer face on it type thing going on. So yeah, I do actually have one.
I mean, this is an original grain watch, which is done with Taylor guitars. For all those guitarists out there, you'll be very familiar with Taylor. The funny thing about it is it would appear that their wooden watches are 100 metres water resistant.
Well, why does this company keep emailing us this shite all the time about $100,000 plus tourbillon Star Wars watches? It's just all the time. So tell us about this most recent one.
So this is Cross. I don't know if they're pronounced. I don't know if it's actually Cross X Studio or if it's just Cross Studio and their logo's
Cross
got an
Studio.
X. Is it just Cross Studio? So Cross Studio, the ultimate collector set inspired by the Death Star TM. That's like, yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting idea. It's a fun looking, is it MBNF that have, who is it that has the UFO watch from a number of years ago?
MBNF or Urwerk? No, MBNF I think it is, isn't it?
Is it MBNF? Yeah, it's like the bit, it looks like Saturn type thing. So I expected it would. This looks a little bit like this, only it's both ugly and $100,000. And I've no idea who on earth's going to buy one of these, but clearly somebody does because they keep on telling us about them. So someone's buying them because they keep making more of them.
No, no one's buying them. That's why they keep emailing us.
It looks shit.
Uh-huh. I mean, somebody will buy the watch.
Why do you think I said it? Jesus, come on. The strap-on on it looks like some dodgy rubber strap that Ricky buys off eBay.
It looks a little bit like this white watch that's got a kind of star system in it. Might it say NASA on it as well? It's got a weird name, Zerik or something.
Zerik watches that did the NASA. Yeah. It does have a look of that about it, doesn't it?
Aye. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Three Scottish people get together and it's very much...
Aye. Dead right.
Pure amazing that watch is. I bet you it's one of the watches that if you get in your hand will actually be really nicely made and finished and everything. But the whole concept of it and alright, maybe for the ultra geeky Star Wars nerd, but you know, there's plenty of them, but I can count probably on one finger how many of them have got 100 grand to spend on a watch.
Maybe one finger. Anywho,
I knew this wasn't a good idea.
No. Okay, so what about, well, here going, Dave, this is a bit more up your street. The new G-Shock, the new Mr. G, the, is it Cashiro?
Cashiro.
The new at $3,000, you're right, it's a Cashiro watch. Have you got the, do you own a Mr. G?
I do.
And they are more expensive than your average G-Shock.
They're called MRGs.
MRGs,
exactly. Are they called MRGs? I've always called them Mr. G, but then I know nothing. MRG.
Yep.
So does it feel, I mean, they're basically 10 times the price of a square G-Shock.
I mean,
does it feel like 10 times the watch?
So, yeah, they range from, I think, about $2,200 through to about $5,000. Obviously, the modules in them are pretty much what you would find in any of the other high-end G-Shocks. So, you know, one of your more advanced modules, but you could find the same module in a £500 or £600 or £1,000 G-Shock as well. It's all about the cases. I mean, the metalworking and the finishing and such like on the cases is a whole different caliber to what you would find on your common or garden plastic G-Shock or even just your metal square. And a lot of them have quite a lot of bits done in them by artisanal Japanese craftsmen. So sometimes the bezel or the case or the bracelet has various traditional Japanese metalworking pieces done. Quite often these are limited edition pieces that they do. They might do, you know, a couple of dozen pieces or a couple of hundred pieces globally. But, you know, they have, and it's not like, oh, we'll get one done by this craftsman and then we'll just stamp the rest of them out. You know, typically all of them are done by these kind of last of their known generation doing X or Y metal skill that they have from Japan. So you're kind of paying for something like that as well, which ultimately it's pretty hard to put a number on it for a lot of people. You know, what is that worth? It's worth whatever someone wants to pay for it, to be honest.
Well, this new one's £3,000 or $3,000.
Are they worth that money? Yeah. Are they worth that money? That's like saying, is a watch worth 100 grand? Is it worth?
But does it feel comparable in quality to a £3,000 Tudor?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, different, yes, because quite often they're made out of titanium, so they're quite light. But if you took, say, like a Pelagos, for example, and you took one of the Thai ones, the case is at least as well made, finished, etc. as that. But okay, all folk go is, oh, but it's a digital watch, isn't it? And it's three or four grand. How is a digital watch that much? And it's like, well, so is an Omega X33 is 4-5 grand, and ultimately it's a digital watch as well, isn't it? So,
yeah, you know,
where do you draw the line?
Yakety yak.
where do we go with this? Honestly, it's like a broken record.
Couple of things. I've been told not to tell you that Christopher Ward have got new stuff happening on the 29th of April.
Okay.
So I've not told you guys anything about that, okay?
But 29th of April April. All right, I was thinking that was 2 days ago. But I was clearly in Dave's AP offshore mode. 29th of April, that was 2 days ago.
So there we go. Cool. Not allowed to talk about that, allegedly. Right. But we are allowed to talk about friends of the show, Bamford.
Nice.
And he has got the Popeye watch out. Now, we keep asking to get sent stuff. And we keep getting emails back going, we would have, but we just sold out. I don't think he's going to sell out of this one.
You think this is not a winner?
I think there's too many of them.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think it's possible for people to get them. It's not like one of 10. I think there's hundreds of this available. So have you had a look at this one yet?
Aye, I mean, it's kind of in a range, isn't it? Because he's done various, well, different characters, obviously, but, you know, the similar watch on different themes or different characters and stuff like that. And I don't think any of them...
Popeye is in the public domain now?
That's a good question, because when was the last time they made a Popeye cartoon? It must be verging on that, unless it's been kind of...
I think it is.
It could well be. Although in saying that, because like certain characters are equitous with age, like Snoopy and stuff, but they're not. But I suppose it depends how they control it, doesn't it?
No, Snoopy was the 50s, I think, whereas Popeye was the 30s.
Was it that long ago? But did they not make them? I mind watching Popeye cartoons when I was a kid.
I remember them coming out.
You will remember them coming out.
Launch date, December 19th, 1919.
Jesus, okay.
For Popeye. And it says, on January 1st, 2009, 70 years since the death of its creator, the character of Popeye became public domain in most countries, but remains under copyright in the US. That's weird.
I think because there's a 100-year law, is it not?
Well, Disney keep kicking that can down the road. But yeah, I think it's, well, Bamford's obviously based in the UK, so... A little bit different.
I quite like it. I like the shape of the watch he does. It's not super expensive. I think it's a cool looking piece, personally. I'm sure it'll do fine for him. You know, his other watches he's done of that kind of ilk with different characters have done well for him. So I'm sure it'll do absolutely fine.
It'd be nice to actually see one. Nice to actually finish that competition we keep talking about as well.
Yeah, I think officially closed it. I see somebody did go on after the last episode and put in a new comment, but I think actually we can officially close the competition now.
Oh, the one that jumped in and went, I'm here from the future.
Yes. I mean, I think we give them an extra entry for being completely meta about the whole thing. So yeah.
That was our good friend Jono. But yeah, so that's from Bamford. And Bamford's other pal, Black Badger, he's in the news again. Not for anything dodgy this time, but he's teamed up with GOS to bring out the Norskin, which is inspired by the Northern Lights. And James has been pumping this all over Facebook and Instagram. Right. And I actually quite like it.
It's a cracking looking watch.
It's something a little bit different. Have you seen this one, Rick?
I have, yes. It's from is it his wife's hometown? I want to see. No, it's not Norrshopping.
Aye, that's. I don't think that's why it was done, but it was. It so happens, I think, that the watch company are from the same town that his wife was born. I think it was, or grew up, or whatever. Yeah,
I'm just trying to remember what the town is because I remember reading about it and going, "Yeah, I've been there." But there you go. It's not Norrshopping. It'll come back to me.
Is that another place you've been banned from?
It is another place, another country I've been banned from.
I think it's a cracking looking watch. I think it'll look good with a Damascus steel case. Pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's up there with those kind of more artisanal brands. And it's good to see, you know. I think it's good. The green looks amazing. I think it'll be pretty amazing to see it in real life. It's going to be one of these ones that the pictures just won't do it any justice. And when you see it, it'll be a whole different ball game to see it in natural light.
Can I piss on it yet?
Can you piss on it? You can piss on it if you want, yeah. Just right, okay. Yeah, go for it.
This is me going to ruin this. The dial looks like a Viscount biscuit.
Sold. Watch ruined forever. Can't unsee. Absolutely perfect.
you're no wrong. It's like a Viscount mint.
Probably the most sensible thing you've ever said on this show. That's exactly what it looks like.
That needs to get in the show notes because that absolutely is the case. And they need a follow up with an orange. And they need an orange flavored one to follow it up.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to get Missy L to... Do Viscount biscuits exist anywhere other than the UK, do we know?
I don't think so. I think that's a peculiarly British thing. I don't even British know if they biscuit. Still exist. Do they still exist?
Oh, no, they exist? Do. No, they, do they? I'm fairly sure they do, yeah. Because I mean, and what do you do with a Viscount biscuit? How do you eat a Viscount biscuit? Come on.
Is this getting to do with...
Like everybody says it as in you. So you bite the mint bit off the top, you soak the chocolate off, then you eat the biscuit. And then what do you do with the wrapper?
And you roll it in a little ball and ping it at someone.
Well, that, or you smooth it all out.
Have a look at what I've just put in the chat.
Oh, Jesus. It is, oh my God.
Perfect. Let's actually do a special edition where we get somebody to put Viscount on the watch dial. That's absolutely amazing. Ruined forever. In fact, actually, you know what? That doesn't actually ruin it. It doesn't actually ruin it. You're right. It doesn't actually ruin it. It's the opposite.
Do you know why it makes it for me? It makes it for me, and that's why I asked, do they still make them? Because that was my mum's mum, my granny's favourite biscuit. She would always have and it was never like, this was pre Tupperware days when they used to have like an old metal biscuit tin, and she would always have orange and mint Viscounts, and it was always there. You would go if you were getting babysat after school by granny, and you were good and you ate your dinner and yada yada yada, you always were allowed a Viscount, and I used to love the mint one, so it actually kind of makes it for me.
I think we should make this the Scottish Watches watch. How much are they?
19 and a half 20K, grand.
Yeah, maybe not. I'll stick
five
to
pieces are
I'll
available between May and June, and then another 10 pieces will be available from August to December.
And how many packets of biscuits could you buy for that? How much is the packet of Viscount biscuits?
It's because it takes James that long to rub the wee wrapper to make it flat to put it in the dial.
You got to think about that. That was in the days when biscuits you could buy in the supermarket that weren't actually wrapped in a way that stopped folk tamperfering with them. They were the biscuits that you could open up, smear something that would kill you on it, wrap it back up and put it on the shelf, and not a person would know. You know, it's not like these things nowadays that are like sealed with security seals so that, you know, you can't put a bit of ketamine into someone's like cheese wrappers.
And believe me, in Scotland, we take our biscuit culture very seriously.
I mean, I'm looking at the case back picture of it as well. You know, pretty looking watch, actually.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah, need to do a bit more reading about it because it looks like it might. Have any of you read it enough to know? Is it a manufacturer movement? Is it their own movement, or is it something they've got in? Or true
well, it's
independent.
Got a wee ninja star on the front of it as well.
It's in any true independent? independent.
Pietro sells these, isn't it?
Swatch Etienne to create the.
Did they not go under?
No, Swatch Etienne is.
Who went under?
You're thinking the. Are you not thinking? Liquid movements.
No, not HYT, it was another mob.
There was another mob.
No, because Swatch Etienne do the work for Ming as well. Because Swatch Etienne do the work for Ming, don't they? They do all the customization on the movements for Ming. And they do quite a few different things. So
there was a movement manufacturer and bother. I can't think who it was though.
Yeah, don't know. Mm. Yeah, looks pretty cool.
Anyway, I like the case material, the way that metal works.
The Damascus. It's really cool.
Cool.
Damascus metal is beautiful.
Explain this to the layman, me. What is the process? Is this a way of working with a type of steel, or is this how it comes out naturally?
So
it's basically folded and folded and folded and folded and folded and polished and folded.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, someone best described it to me as like how you would make pastry. You know, like that whole, you have to layer the pastry and the butter and all that kind of stuff as you're making it up, and you get to get the layers in it so that when it bakes, you get these layers. It's not exactly the same, but it's a similar idea where you're folding metal over in metal, and it gives you that kind of, don't know how you describe it, but it's a kind of very organic looking kind of flow to the materials. Quite often used for knife blades.
Knives.
So it was quite a traditional metal, because I think the idea is by folding it like that, it hardens and it kind of...
It does.
I think it was an ancient way of effectively doing what we can do now with, you know, pressures and heats that you couldn't attain back in the day, where you would hand work it to harden it as opposed to heat treating or whatever we would do now to it.
How did they bend metal back in the day like that?
By heating it very hot. It's a blacksmith. My blacksmith makes Damascus steel blades for knives as well as horseshoes. I've seen him do it. It's quite impressive.
I think it was a traditional way where, you could... You can get it hot enough that it's not molten, but it becomes kind of
pliable.
And you can hammer it over. And it was a very time-consuming, heavy, you know, personal work going into it to get it done. But it is a cool looking effect. Yeah, and I think
next time the farrier's in, Ricky, you can come down and get a lesson in making blades. That seems to be the sort of thing a Scotsman should know how to do. Make blades.
I know how to use one, but making one slightly different.
I'm still chuckling away at that Viscount wrapper.
That's good. It's good.
James is going to kill us.
He's going to nail us across.
Let's send him. This is going out tomorrow, this episode, isn't it?
Let's get a cease and desist together that looks semi-official from Viscount and just get it fired off to him.
Could we quickly put together an April Fool joke for tomorrow featuring Viscount biscuits and that watch?
Get Edwin on the case.
Yeah. I think that's the job.
Since you got Edwin on the case to do something that would jeopardise life itself.
Have you read it? It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. It's stunningly good. I have a way in which it could be reused. Instead of being directly coronavirus related, we could make it reference Corona beer and then just let the reader take it in the direction themselves. But we'll maybe see if he can quickly put together a Viscount biscuit one instead.
Yeah, we'll go with the Viscount one instead. So listeners, if you're hearing this and wondering what we're talking about, go back the way through Instagram and find what we did on April 1st.
Indeed. Yeah. And I mean, the only good thing about that is, you know, we're not kind of baiting a bear that's getting more money than us that will actually sue us. We're baiting James, who will just beat us to death, which is preferable. At least we'll go to our graves.
With McLaren car parts.
Yeah, at least we can go to our graves paying for our own funeral in that case.
The Damascus steel stuff you're talking about there, it looks like Fordite.
I know where you're coming from. It's got that kind of swirly pattern, doesn't it? That kind of, I think that watch in real life will look absolutely amazing. It'll not be everyone's taste because the green's going to be really green. It would be my guess.
If it does an orange one, my granny would like it.
Oh, aye, orange Viscount. You got to complete the set.
orange and green. But who can ever think of a use of that in Scotland? Yeah. Well, we've put the watches back into Scottish watches because we've actually talked about watches. It's about time we put the Scottish back into Scottish watches.
I think we've said aye, pure and gallus enough in this episode to confuse.
Oh dear.
And that is a show, folks.
It is a show.
Rick's going to tell people about leaving reviews that are funny that we might read out, and also where to go.
So go to all the places that Google reveals when you stick in Scottish watches into the search box. Have a look at the YouTube channel, the main one. There's two junior ones as well. No, there's one junior one. No, there's two junior ones. So tune in to Time of the Week. Last week's, which is tonight's. has Clockbait on it, so it may be good, or we may have deleted it already because it might have been terrible. And then on the Unbox channel, you've got a great loom battle between Seiko JLC from James at Band and Bezel, and Ralph has a G-Shock video up there. And on the current YouTube channel, there is what running, Ricky?
Videos.
I think it's Nick's is the latest stuff, which we spoke about earlier on. Did you hear that?
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. hold on. Alexa, buy toilet roll.
Still not going to work if I'm getting my headphones in.
No, listeners will be playing this in their houses. Alexa, call the police.
Right, so you've got Limbatter, we've got Ralph, we've got Scottish Watches, but most importantly, because you've been leaving some good reviews on the podcast, leave a review. It takes seconds to do. We will give you a readout if you actually leave a written review rather than just leaving 5 stars. And if you tell us a good joke on it, we'll read out as well. The podcast is doing really well, trending everywhere, on all the charts. Go and give it a listen and a like and subscribe and all that other jazz that you need to do.
Well, that's it. So we have got lots of cool stuff happening, but you can find out about that on the website, on the Instagram and on the YouTube channels. So
goodbye from me. Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from both those dicks.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.